Morning. Good to see you again. Thank you for your warm welcome as usual. We're turning to Matthew's Gospel and chapter 7. Matthew 7, reading verses 7 to 11. Matthew 7, verse 7 to 11. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him. Amen. And God will bless the reading of that portion of his inspired word. In this sermon, the Lord Jesus Christ teaches his people many practical lessons about the Christian life and what a Christian is in their character and their nature. Giving and how to give. Praying and how to pray. Fasting and how to fast. He teaches on the dangers of materialism, making our value depend upon material things. The dangers of worrying about things that haven't happened. That mindset, that way of thinking. Jesus teaches in this sermon so far on fair judgment. Discernment. When preaching or evangelizing, casting the seed of the word to people. We looked at that last week. Now, in chapter 7, verses 7 to 11, Jesus is exhorting his people, his followers, to real practical prayer. Now this is not a repeat of what he says in chapter 6. That is how to pray. The mechanism. How to pray. But here, the Lord Jesus is stirring us up as to why we are to pray. A command is all the verbs in the verses, the first two verses we've read, all the verbs are imperatives. A command to real prayer, not just saying prayers. And there's all the difference in the world. As we go through life, we need certain things. The Lord knows that. Here, in this section, as Matthew Henry says, here Jesus speaks of prayer as the appointed means of obtaining what we need. End of quote. Here in this section, we are given a few very practical, real life lessons for the Christian on real prayer. Anyone can say a prayer, but not everyone actually prays. 3 points. Number one, the command to pray real prayers. Number two, Jesus Christ's illustration of God's willingness and likelihood to answer prayer. And thirdly, I have put in as the third point a warning let us not be silly in application. Or if you prefer, looking at verses 7 to 11, verses 7 and 8 is the teaching. Verses 9 and 10 are the illustration. And verse 11 is the application. Point number one, Jesus' command to believers to pray real prayers. Verse 7 and 8. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks receives. And he that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh it shall be opened. What do the Greek words mean? The words are the word ask. Simply means ask. But note, it's a verb. It's a present active imperative. It's a continual, I presently, actively, and Jesus is commanding believers. We are continually, practically meant to put in effort in asking. Ask, and you shall receive. Seek, and you shall find. Seek a thing. The verb is use energy. Again, it's a present active imperative. Seek, and you shall find. The word find is a future passive indicative, which means we're commanded to actively seek and ask. And in the future, we'll be passive. It will come to us. We shall find. It's God's work. And it's indicative. It's just a statement of fact. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Again, present, active, imperative. And continual command, always be knocking, always be knocking, always be asking, always be seeking from God. And it shall be opened unto you, future, passive, indicative again. For everyone that asks, receive, and he that seeks, finds, and so on. The word everyone, very rarely, when you see it in the Bible, means everyone in the world. Sure it doesn't. In the context. When we were in Wade Abbey, we had barbecue evenings. Once a year, usually in July or August. And we could say, wow, it was great. Everyone came. But it didn't mean everyone in the world. Sure, it didn't. It meant everyone from the church, everyone we knew. It was great. The context. The context here, for everyone that asks, receives, everyone that seeks, finds, the context is that Jesus is teaching who? His followers, believers, who have God as their Father. And that's the everyone he's referring to. Everyone that asks receives. And when we put these words together under the first point, Jesus Christ in these verses, or in the first verse, verse 7, gives three commands to believers. I command you, ask. I command you, seek. I command you, knock. I command you, ask, and God will give you. I command you, seek, inquire, and you will find. I command you, knock at the door, and in the future, it'll be opened unto you. For everyone who asks, receives an answer. For everyone that seeks, finds. For everyone who knocks, it's opened. Now, what's the teaching? The teaching of the first point is this. Jesus Christ commands us to real prayer, where we actually ask him for what we need. As a person, he is three people, of course, but he's God. We ask him for what we need. We're commanded to, and we're to trust him to to answer. That's the command. Jesus is really teaching, you see, God doesn't want us to ramble around the world in prayer and actually, in the end, say nothing. That happens. And ask nothing. We have all heard that type, haven't we? And the words go on and on and on. And I'm not, some prayers are just worship, and that's great. It's adoration. And if it's in the Spirit, that's great. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the words go on and on and on and on. And it's the same old thing every single week. And they don't even ask for anything. You know what Jesus says? I command you, believers, disciples, ask, seek, and knock. It's a command from God. What does it mean when we ask? When we ask for something in life, it simply means we have need, we want something. Daddy, can we go to Port Rush? Can we go to the Armoy motorbike race at the end of July? Asking proves there's something that we want. What does it mean to seek? It means we're looking for something. We're actively looking for something. There's something we want to find. What happens when we knock? Well, it means we want to go in. We want the door to open so we can go in. We want to go somewhere. You don't just knock a door for the sake of the door. The purpose behind it is I want to go in somewhere. Or I want to talk to somebody behind the door. So Jesus is saying here, I command you, come to God. Pray real prayers. Stop messing around. Come to God and ask Him for what you need. When you're looking for something, come to God looking for it. When you want a door to open, knock at the door and ask God to open the door. That's what He's saying. It's so practical. A job opportunity, whatever it is. Ask, seek, knock. Pray real prayers. God is real. Prayer is real. Ask God. It's so simple. It is. But do we do it? When we pray, it's not make-believe. It's meant to be real. The living God answers prayers. That is a fact. And He commands us to come to Him here. The Son of God commands us to come to Him in real, practical prayers. Listen to Perkins. Ask, seek, knock to check slackness and coldness in our prayers. These are three imperatives, says the Puritan. In the present tense, they are continual. This means we are to devote ourselves to real prayer. Matthew Henry, pray, pray often, pray with sincerity and seriousness, pray and pray again. Make conscience of prayer and be consistent in it. Make a business of prayer and be earnest about it. Earnest, end of quote. Earnest, of course, means we are in earnest. I'm just not repeating words. I mean what I say when I'm praying to God. I'm really praying real prayers. I'm asking and knocking. So God wants us to be active in prayer, not slackers. Now, that's the teaching of the verses 7 and 8. And a little bit of questioning that and application. Oh, but it didn't work out. I asked God, but I didn't get it. Well, let's ask ourselves a few questions, and not just ourselves, all Christians in the Western world, we all need to learn this. Did I ask? Did I seek? Did I knock? It's very simple. We will look at other reasons in a latter point in this message why sometimes we don't get what we ask. But first, we have to ask ourselves this. Did I continually ask God, believing in Him? Did I? Did I do the basics? Second point. Jesus gives an illustration. Now, He's given the teaching. Then in the next two verses, He gives the illustration of God's willingness and likelihood of answering prayer. Verses 9 on down. What man is there of you, whom if his son asks for bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? What do the words mean? If the words really just mean exactly what they say in the verse, most of them. Is there anyone, is there a man here among us? And if your son asks you for bread, would you give him a stone? That's exactly what it means. And if he asks for a fish, would any father give that boy a poisonous snake instead? And then the Lord goes on, verse 11, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father, well, your Father which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask Him? If ye then, being evil, the Lord goes on, being is or are by nature, evil, bad or sinful, know how to give good things, good in nature, agreeable things, things that are beneficial and well or useful, then how much more will your Heavenly Father give good things, good in nature, beneficial, useful, to them that ask Him? Now the lesson is plain from the illustration, isn't it? Christ is illustrating us coming to our Father in heaven in prayer and asking Him for something in prayer, and He's illustrating it by comparing a child asking their earthly father for something. And it's the exact same idea. Which of you, if your son came to you or your daughter came to you and said, Daddy, Father, can I have a bit of toast? I'm really hungry. What father would say, there you go, son, there's a wee pebble from the beach. You have that. See the illustration? Would any father give their child, when they're hungry, something utterly useless, not fit for purpose? No. That's stupid. Daddy, can I have a wee fish? Can we go to the chip shop and have cod and chips? Here you go, son. There's a wee rattlesnake. Yeah, that's exactly what it says. In the parallel in Luke's gospel, it's a scorpion. A poisonous, dangerous animal, reptile, or insect. The son opens up the paper, thinking he's getting a cod, battered cod, and inside is a poisonous scorpion. What father would do that? Or a rattlesnake instead of a fish? What father would give something dangerous to their child instead of food? You see the point of Jesus' illustration? He's making it ridiculous so that we know how to pray to God. Which of you, if your son asks for bread or a fish, would give him something useless or dangerous instead? Nobody would. It's a no-brainer. No one. Well then, says Jesus, if you then, being evil, having a sinful nature and being fallen, if you then being evil, even you know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father in heaven, who's not evil, but sinlessly perfect and merciful and kind and gracious, how much more shall your Father in heaven not give good things to them that ask him? It's a logical argument again. I've mentioned this before. This is logic. From the lesser to the greater. You can't beat that argument. If you as an earthly father know how to give good things, how much more does your heavenly Father know how to give good things? Argument over. Point proved. God answers prayer, but you got to ask him. Now please note, it doesn't say God will give you anything you ask. See, that's the way some people all of a sudden read into it. No, it actually says God will give good things to them that ask him. Not what it says in verse 11. Good in nature, agreeable, beneficial, useful things. He won't give bad things. How much more shall your Father which in heaven give good things to them that ask him? It's the same teaching as the Psalm number 84, verse 11. Look what it says there. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. There it is again. This section in the Sermon on the Mount is not an unlimited promise that God will answer prayer no matter what we're asking. No. Like a slot machine. No. Some people like to take it in that way, you see. But again, they're twisting the scripture. And when they don't get what they want and what they ask, they huff and pout like spoiled children. And I've seen this in some churches. And they start to blame God because he didn't answer the prayer the way they wanted. And eventually someone may say, oh, God doesn't even hear, he doesn't exist. No. It says very clearly that God will give good things to them that ask him. Not anything, good things. Not stupid things. Not dangerous things. Not whatever makes me happy all the time. No, definitely not. It says, how much more shall your Father in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Thirdly then, you have to put this in because you want to emphasize we must ask and God always does answer prayer. But yet, we don't take that too far and be silly. The third point is warning, let us not be silly in application. What do you mean? I mean this. There's a multitude of people in Northern Ireland and the Western world, in the visible church, and they say things like this. The Bible says, ask and you'll receive. The Bible says, seek and you'll find. The Bible says, knock and it shall be opened. Well, I asked, and I didn't get it. I sought, and I didn't find. I prayed for a job, and I didn't get it. I prayed for my sick relative, and know what happened? They died. I prayed for salvation of a loved one, and they're still not saved. I prayed to God, and I asked for this and that and the other, and you know what? He didn't answer. There's many people like that, you know. He didn't answer. And their attitude from then on, they mightn't put it in words, their attitude is, God, let me down. And that attitude stinks. It's sinful. God, let me down. And I'm going to huff, and I'm going to puff, and I'm going to blow the whole house down. That's the childish attitude of some people, because they don't even understand what the Bible says by reading it. There's a bunch of childish, biblically ignorant, professed Christians who believe, think God has to answer all their prayers the way they want. Grow up. And they say, the Bible says so. Hang on a wee minute. The Bible says no such thing, that God has to answer all our prayers the way we want and he has to give us everything we ask. The Bible doesn't say that at all. And anyone that thinks that is a fool, and they need to start reading their Bible. God hasn't answered your prayer? Let me look at a wee checklist here a wee second. A biblical checklist that I got from the Bible. For anyone listening on the internet, for anyone who thinks God didn't answer my prayer and they're going to blame God, let's go through this wee checklist, because you've misunderstood the Bible. Let's take all that the Bible says about prayer, not just half a verse in Matthew 7. Has God answered your prayer? Checklist for silliness. Have you ever thought of this? Number one, maybe the answer was no. How about that? Yeah. Does anyone ever say that in church? No. Maybe God has answered the prayer and the answer is no. Wow. What an affront to human pride. Checklist number two. Hang on. God hasn't answered your prayer. Think about this. Did you and do you ask God in faith? Are you trusting him? Whatever the answer will be. That's what it says in James chapter 1, doesn't it? Let me turn over to it. The Bible tells us very clearly in James chapter 1, look at verses 5 to 7. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that gives to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given to him. But let him ask in faith, not wavering. For he that wavers is like a wave of the sea, driven by the wind and tossed. For let not that man think he shall receive anything from the Lord. Ah. Did we ask believing God or doubting? Is our faith as irrational and on and off as a wave going up and down Torella Beach? Because if it is, the Bible clearly says that type of person who's all believing in God and then they don't believe in God and they're all worrying, they will receive nothing from God. We're to ask in faith. Maybe it's our fault that we didn't trust God enough. If God didn't answer our prayers, apparently. Checklist number three. God didn't answer my prayers. Well, maybe God has not answered your prayers because you're disobedient to him in your life. That's another biblical question, isn't it? It says in Psalm 84, verse 11, no good thing will he withhold from them who what? Walk uprightly. So I have to ask myself the question, am I walking and living uprightly, doing the right thing? Am I obeying God? Am I obeying the Lord? Am I walking uprightly? Or am I neglecting the gathering of ourselves together after the manner of some is? Am I missing, because because I couldn't be bothered? Do I not have fellowship with my brothers and sisters because I couldn't? How's my prayer life? How's my giving to the work of the Lord? Am I putting God first? Or my own selfish me first? Me first. Am I walking uprightly? That could be another reason why God hasn't answered the prayers, because it says he will withhold no good thing from them that walk uprightly. No good thing. God is under no obligation to answer my prayer or to give me anything if I'm not walking uprightly. But if our walk is as characteristic as by slacking off and living like a half-converted pagan, then it's maybe no surprise that for some professed believers in churches, God doesn't answer their prayer. So they're not walking uprightly. God gives good things to those that walk uprightly. That's what the Bible says. It doesn't say he gives good things to disobedient slackers. It doesn't say that. And if God hasn't answered our prayer, here's another checklist from the Bible. I wonder then, is it a good thing that we're praying for? Is it good in nature? Would it be beneficial to me? Would it be useful? Or maybe, if God was to answer the prayer, I couldn't cope with it. And it would lead me away from the Lord, and God knows that, so he's not going to give it to me. It would take me away from him. Maybe if God made me a millionaire, I'd become proud and say, well, I'm great, and waste it all around the place and go away from God. No, maybe it's not a good thing that we're asking God for. And that's why he's withholding it, because he gives good things to them that ask him, and the good things to them that walk uprightly. But something, brothers and sisters, and isn't it so true, and I mean this myself, sometimes we think this would be good for me, but God knows it wouldn't, because he knows far better than we do. I remember when I was very small, I think it was about 1.5 or 2 years old. Well, I tell you, I don't remember anything about that age. But I remember my parents telling me about when I was 1.5 or 2 years old, that one night they left me with my granny and my nanny and papa, my grandma and grandpa, so that they could go out and get a wee hour or two for having a meal or something. And I had only a few teeth, apparently. I was really small, and I was grandma and grandpa's house. And I was left there for a few hours, and during that time, my grandma and grandpa, you know, they were very simple folk, lived in the country, and they were lovely people, but they didn't have much sense, okay? And my nanny, they got out this bag of Scotch toffees, right? Those chewy ones. And there's me, 1.5 or 2, kid wants to sticks everything in its mouth, doesn't it? So they gave me a Scotch toffee, and I chewed it all up, and I loved it. I thought it was great for me. And I had it. And then, you know what? Because I liked it so much, they gave me another one. And another one. And another one. And I must have been loving it, because I just kept eating them. And another. And I know what I would have been like. I would have thought, this is great. I never get these amount of treats and sweets. Marvelous, marvelous, marvelous. And I was thinking, this is really good for me, because I had no sense at all. And my mum and dad came back a couple hours later. And my nanny said, God bless him. Didn't he do well? He had the whole bag. Yeah. I did so well that when I was on my dad's shoulder, I was sick and brought up the whole bag and liquid toffee right down the back of his shirt. It was great. So I did so well. Why am I telling you that? Because we're all like that sometimes, aren't we? Sometimes we have no sense at all. And we think, that'd be great for me, but it's not. And maybe that's why God withholds things from us in our prayers, because it wouldn't be good for us, even though we might think that it would be. God knows what's good for us, and he only gives good things to them that ask and to them that walk uprightly. And sometimes we just don't know what's good for us, because we don't know ourselves very well at all, and God knows us better than we do ourselves. So maybe he didn't answer my prayer or our prayers or anyone's prayers because it's not good for us. So here's the checklist for people that think maybe God didn't answer prayer. Maybe the answer is no. Maybe we didn't ask in faith. Maybe we're not walking uprightly. And maybe it's not a good thing anyway. And we are not aware of it. I conclude, I've given you 3 points. Jesus here commands us to pray real prayers. He says, ask, seek, knock. He illustrates it with God's likelihood to answer prayers. If a son asks his father for bread, would he give him a stone? No. If a son asks his father for a fish, would he give him a rattlesnake? No. So neither will God. How much more, if you, being evil, know how to give good things, how much more will God, your Father in heaven, not give good things to them that ask? And thirdly, the warning, let us not be silly in application. Let us not be pouting powder puffs who blame God and twist the Bible because we think that he didn't answer our prayer. No, he always answers our prayer, even if the answer is no. And if we don't apparently get the answer, no, then are we trusting God? Are we really of faith in him? Are we leaving it with him? Are we obeying God on our walk? And is it good what we're asking for? Ask God if you're a sinner and not saved, not trusting in the Lord, ask God to save you. God, be merciful to me, the sinner. He'll always answer that prayer. If you're a Christian, ask God. Bring him into all your life. Ask him. He wants you to. He commands you to. You don't have to pray well to ask God. You don't have to pray well to pray. Some people pray marvelously. They're very articulate. And they would pray like a Concorde flying through the sky. And other people are not so articulate, and they pray like a biplane from World War I, putting along. And then some people are not even that articulate, and they pray a bit like a tractor. But you know what, brothers and sisters, it doesn't make a button of difference, not one bit of difference, because the power is not in the prayer, but in the person who hears the prayer. Our Heavenly Father. And he says, ask and it will be given. Knock and it will be open. Seek and you will find. Let us pray real prayers to the Lord. And may God bless you. Thank you for your attention this morning.